Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. I got into a discussion with some friends of mine about hallucinations in animals. There certainly have been studies of animals who use and who actually choose to use certain hallucinogenic substances. Some animals deliberately get drunk by eating fermented fruit. Others seek out certain hallucinogenic plants for little R&R. As with everything else, the issue is balance. Animals that don't have the self-control to walk away, for whatever reason, when they've satiated themselves. Well, you remember what happened with the ant and the grasshopper. Doesn't end well. But what about animals who hallucinate when they're given prescription drugs? This is a little bit trickier. When drugs are tested, unless some behavioral change is glaring, it won't be noticed. Studies tend to be focused on efficacy. How effective is the drug at addressing the problem it was designed to address? The focus for side effects are physical side effects: vomiting, diarrhea, dizziness. And of course, compared to humans, drug studies in animals, particularly dogs and cats where we have multiple breeds, it would be impossible, it would be cost prohibitive to do any kind of testing of any product that would include sufficient numbers of animals of any one particular breed over a long enough period to determine this. But does that mean that animals don't hallucinate when given some drugs? No. I've seen cats hallucinate. Other people have seen cats hallucinate on certain drugs. Dogs, too. Steroids are the one I remember the most dramatically. I recall once in my practice I put a dog on steroids for pruritus, for itching. Standard procedure. A day later, the owner called and said the dog had become very edgy, very aggressive. And I told her to stop giving the drug. Had the dog been on it longer, then the last thing I would have wanted to do would be to remove that drug suddenly because of the possibility that that would increase the negative effect. Instead, we would wean the dog off the drug slowly. I don't know what these dogs were seeing or hearing or otherwise perceiving that caused this change in behavior. But I do know that in one case, it was a visual problem. These particular clients had an entryway that was paved with large squares of black and white tile. When the dog had been on prednisolone for 48 hours, the dog started refusing to walk on the black squares. The dog would only walk on the white squares. Nothing could get that dog to walk on a black square. I think about those cases, then I think about all the drugs we're now prescribing for animals with the idea of changing the brain. Sometimes changing the brain in ways we really know very little about. And if they affect the brain, how do they affect the mind? The way science gets around that right now is to just simply deny that animals have minds. Just pretend that they don't have a mind. So what goes on in an animal's mind when we alter the animal's perception of reality? I have only the most tenuous grasp about how animals perceive their world. Using every shred of imagination I can summon, I can vaguely get a glimpse of how it must be to see the world the way my cat and my dogs normally do. I have no idea how my fish perceive the world. I can't begin to comprehend the magnitude and the range of sounds and smells they all perceive. If I can't perceive their normal, understanding what it's like when they perceive the abnormal is mind-boggling to me. What must that be like when you're an animal who experiences something like that, and you know you need help, you know everything's going all wonky and weird on you, and the one individual that you can trust, your person, doesn't even know your norm? How horrible that must be. Because of that, I think it's our responsibility to be particularly cognizant of these possibilities. Not that we should attribute every little thing to a side effect, but that we be vigilant, that we know the drugs that we're getting, and that we're giving them the right amount, and we don't leave the drugs where they can overdose. It's always been our responsibility. But in our drug-choked society, it's more of a responsibility than ever.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.